Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Fox Television, Fox News, a very large sum to be conveyed in some fashion to Dominion, an organization that does polling for political contests. Dominion and Fox, much in the news because of the size of the settlement, more than $750 million. However, behind this story is a puzzlement, and I welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution writing about this at American Greatness. What does it mean that Dominion was faulted, that Fox was faulted for reporting news after the election? How could that have distorted the election? And for if reporting news after the election doesn't distort the election, what about all the other news that was reported after the election? Did that have any play? We're thinking in particularly of the years of Russiagate being maintained as credible. Victor, a very good evening to you. You and I have worked through Russiagate for several years. There's no resolution yet, although we're told there's a report eventually that will describe all of the mysteries. However, your observation is that Russiagate was both before and after the 16 election. And to my knowledge, there's been no accounting similar to how Fox News has been held accountable for the Dominion reporting after the election. Do you look forward to the day when news organizations are asked to explain why it is they maintain before and after the election the falsehood of the Steele dossier? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think everybody is in search of a standard. They just want a universal standard that's applicable across the political spectrum vis-a-vis the media. So in 2016, we had MSNBC, CNN, Network News, PBS, NPR. They all ran with the idea that A, the Steele dossier, which was false, was authentic, and B, the walls were closing in on Donald Trump. We had the Alpha Bank ping that I think Jake Sullivan, the current national security advisor, was allegedly involved in. And the result of that is this, we had the $40 million and 22 months of Robert Mueller that couldn't find those allegations to be true, which did not stop people on the left from Hillary Clinton all the way to Jimmy Carter insisting that Donald Trump was illegitimate. And so we forgot nothing and we learned nothing. And we went into 2020. And then on the eve of the election, a computer shows up in a repairman shop, and he has a receipt from Hunter Biden. And on the computer, there's email exchanges where one of the participants has asked, and he says, yes, I wrote that. It's on there. And there's no denials from Hunter. There's just equivocation. And we learned that, I guess, Mr. Blinken, who was working for the Biden campaign in a very high capacity, talked to Mr. Morrell, the former interim CIA director. They got 51 people to falsely allege that this was likely Russian disinformation. And we have a poll from the Republican, a Republican poller, albeit conservative, that this made a difference to people who followed the election in a tight-knit election. So what does all that mean, John? It means that we have a standard where people were, for over that four-year span, were going on TV and opinionating or citing as fact something that was demonstrably untrue. Keep that in mind. And then we go to Dominion. And this was all, as you pointed out, before the election. And then the Dominion matters. We had some people who were sounding off on Fox News that the Dominion machines may have been inaccurate. But that was after the election. There's no logic and no one has claimed that they affected the election. So my point in this windy exegesis is just simply, well, if you're going to do it for 4 years and try to warp an election and there's no consequences, why after an election, which didn't have consequences in the actual ballot counting and which had the similar people giving opinions, why do you hold the network culpable for that in a way that no one held the other networks culpable for a far more egregious, I think, sin.
I'm glad we get to Russiagate again, Victor, because sometimes it feels as if that's been forgotten in a footnote of history. Russiagate was a sizable operation. It wasn't a simple matter of one British national named Christopher Steele. It involved dozens of people, some of the major reporters with brand names, many of the best publications, along with the cable television, along with network news. For years, we were led to believe that there was always going to be something emerging, that the next moment around the corner, we would discover how this all was put together. To my knowledge, and you and I follow the news as best we can, there's never been a statement by any of those principals, certainly individually or collectively, about how they misled the American people and why they misled the American people and why they were credulous, if they were, to go along with something that was so clearly fantastic. I have never heard that. Have you, Victor?
No, I think it's even more worrisome that the people who promulgated that untruth, those untruths, were promoted and rewarded. Jake Sullivan, as I mentioned, was named as a person who was an intermediary in the Sussman Alpha Bank Ping caper, right. And he's now the National Security Advisor of the United States. And Blinken was involved later in the 2020 election and soliciting, I think, via Mr. Morrell, this letter. He's the State Department Secretary of State. And when then we look at people like James Clapper, the former Director of National Intelligence, or John Brennan, who not only went with that story, but in the case of Clapper said that basically, I think literally, that Donald Trump was a Russian asset. They became respectively CNN and MSNBC contributors, as did Andrew McCabe, who on four occasions lied to federal investigators, admittedly so. And both Clapper and Brennan, of course, had lied under oath to Senate and the Congress before as well. So it's even worse than that, that people, I think, were James Baker, who was the chief counsel for the FBI, is reportedly, you know, making a couple hundred thousand, perhaps. He was the one that was disseminating and dealing with a lot of the reporters on the eve of the 2016 election to make sure that they knew that the FBI had authenticated this. And indeed, the FBI had hired Christopher Steele as a contractor. He became a chief counsel, as you remember, for the old Twitter at $8 million a year, 50 times what he was making. So it's pretty incredible.
Why, at this point, is it important that we get all these facts out? Because we did have a presidential campaign that depended upon falsehoods to advance its case. It was the presidential campaign of 2016, the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. We need an accounting of that before we can sign off on attempts to prevent intervention in the election of 24. I don't think we're going to get it. It's a peculiar missing piece that I hope the report addresses and the media has an opportunity to correct the record, because right now the record is blank, Victor.
I know. CNN has let, as you remember, they let go some reporters that had been falsely relying on leaks. Remember, the Mueller investigation, unlike John Durham's investigation, was a sieve. It was every single week we heard a walls are closing in bombshell leak aired on our network or cable news. But none of the people have really paid any consequences. And it's important to address your question because, as you say, we need a deterrent so that people don't think they can repeatedly lie or mislead the American people with the rationale that their ends, i.e. stopping someone they feel is an ogre like Donald Trump, justifies any means necessary to achieve that end.
As for Fox, the facts are not available because the court settlement was before the usual revelations on both sides. However, you speculate and others have speculated that Fox settled for reasons to do with internal security. Do I understand that correctly? Internal documents that were either more revelatory, more embarrassing or compromising.
Yes, I think that the consensus of the reports that I've read, and I'm not relying on any unnamed source, but just that it's out there in the printed and online literature, is that they were preparing for this second lawsuit And they felt that if they didn't settle with the first, there were going to be subpoenas for internal messaging. I don't know if they had been issued yet, but then they reviewed all of their internal messages. And then the general consensus is either A, in the case of some people who were let go, that they had said things that were disparaging about the family corporate structure that ran Fox, or B, they said things that would be embarrassing in court, not necessarily actionable, but just would sort of make them look bad. That's the narrative that we're getting from Fox, but we must put this in context. How do we even know, John, what these internal messages are? So if John Batchelor or Victor Hansen writes an internal message just to a friend, but it happens to use a server that is associated where they work, then that is known to our employers. And somehow that internal messaging, which was kept secret and was internally reviewed, has made its way out into the public domain. So I don't know who's leaking it, but somebody is leaking it for some purpose.
I want to just add here at the end, Victor, because you and I report the news all the time. Podcasting, you write a great deal, and over the years you've been on speaking occasions, representing the news and analyzing the news. And we're just about to turn to it, to the news of the campaign with the two leading candidates, quite senior. Reporting the news is a responsibility, and it's not difficult to correct the record if you say something wrong the first time or the second time. The audience is extremely sympathetic, aware of the fact that there's an enormous amount of data coming past us, and we're human beings. That's the way I've always read your columns and listened to you reporting, and it's the way I conduct my show. It was not difficult for Fox to figure out there was something wrong with that theory about Dominion voting systems. It was not difficult for MSNBC or CNN to figure out there was something wrong with the Russiagate scenario, but they chose not to. Is that correct, Victor?
Well, the irony is, as I understand it, and I had been on some shows with, say, to take an example, Sidney Powell, and I was kind of surprised. I wasn't on at the exact moment, but I came on later, I think on Lou Dobbs and another, I don't know if it was Laura Ingraham or Tucker Carlson, but she said things that I didn't think, I knew were not true, but she said things that I didn't think could be true. In other words, the computers were communicating with people in China or Venezuela. I just thought it was absurd. But given that statement, John, what I'm a little perplexed by, as I read the internal messages, the person most critical of her, who did not want her back on his show, internal messages that were never intended to be seen, was Tucker Carlson. So I don't know which people at Fox either promulgated that untruth or allowed their guests to keep coming on and reiterate something that was obviously untrue. Apparently, Mr. Dobbs was let go for that reason, and there were other people that may or may not be dismissed. But I don't know a major CNN person who was dismissed, to take the other example, for Russiagate. I don't think Don Lemon was dismissed because he, night after night after night, assured us that the Steele dossier was not only true, but that it would lead to Donald Trump's conviction. I think Chris Cuomo, was let go for other reasons. So my point is, I don't think that the left of center media has gone back and examined the records in the way that they're demanding the Fox people do.
I'm speaking with Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, writing on American Greatness, about reporting the news and misreporting or misrepresenting the news. We're going to turn to the actual news next. The presidential contest of 24, more than a year away, 19 months away. I'm John Batchelor.